It's obviously a pleasure to be here. I didn't realise I was following Black Mirror's interpretation of the future of Welsh eye care services. That's different. So I'm going to talk to you a bit today about stroke in general, about the condition, about its causes, risk factors, and what the impact can be on people generally, but also about how stroke is related to vision and what the impact of stroke can be on people's vision after a stroke as well, because it can be quite a drastic impact as well. So to start with, a few stats, because what's a PowerPoint display without a lot of numbers? There's over 67,000 stroke survivors in Wales, which I think is a lot more than many people would expect there to be. 2% of the population of Wales are stroke survivors. And across the whole of the UK, there's over 1.2 million stroke survivors. And stroke strikes someone in the UK every 5 minutes. And in Wales, that means there's around about 7,400 strokes every year as well. But it's not just about numbers. It's about the impact that it can have on an individual. And it can have a sudden and massive impact on someone's life. It can rob you of your speech, your ability to walk. It can affect your vision, your memory, your concentration, and your emotions. Stroke causes a greater range of disabilities than any other condition. And in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, almost two-thirds of stroke survivors leave hospital with some form of disability. This can obviously have a huge impact on your independence, your confidence, and your emotional well-being, as well as a significant knock-on impact on your work and family life as well. Thanks to improvement in stroke care, you're now more likely to survive a stroke compared to 20 years ago. But sadly, stroke is still the fourth biggest killer in England and Wales, and kills twice as many, each year it kills more men than prostate cancer and twice as many women as breast cancer, killing 2,000 people in Wales each year as well. The other thing to be aware of is that, as with many conditions, the number of people experiencing stroke is expected to rise by about 50% in Wales over the next 20 years, particularly as a result of our ageing population as well. So we know those numbers are all likely to get higher as we move forward in time as well. So what is a stroke? A stroke is a brain attack. It happens when the blood supply to part of your brain is cut off. Without blood, your brain cells can be damaged or die. And there's two main types of stroke. Most strokes, around 85% of strokes, are what are called ischemic strokes, which are ones caused by blockages such as clots, which cut off blood supply to parts of the brain. But strokes can also happen because of a bleed caused by a blood vessel that's burst within or on the surface of the brain, and this is called a hemorrhagic stroke. So when you hear something that's referred to as a brain hemorrhage, that is a type of stroke. Strokes caused by bleeds are not as common as strokes caused by blockages, like I said, about 15% of strokes, but they can be much more serious and are associated with a much higher risk of dying within the first 3 months and beyond. You also often hear things referred to as mini strokes, or to give it a full name, transischemic attacks. And this is where a stroke symptoms cease within 24 hours. Recently, you might have heard of mini strokes being in the news because they've been the experience of Michael Johnson, former US athlete, an Olympian. However, despite the name mini stroke, it's still important to remember that these are very serious. 1 in 12 people who experience a mini stroke will experience a for lack of a better term, a full-blown stroke within a week of having a mini stroke. So it really is an important warning. And there's no way of knowing whether a mini stroke is a mini stroke or a full stroke at the time it's occurring. It's whether those symptoms cease within 24 hours. So it still has to be treated within the same level of emergency. And strokes can strike anyone at any time. Some people think that stroke is a condition that primarily affects older people. And while yes, it is something that is more common as people age, and there are certain factors that can increase that risk, it can occur in anyone. So we know of children and babies who've experienced stroke as well. So it really is something everyone needs to be aware of. And there's four things that we like to talk about as being the most important in spotting a stroke. Anyone know the acronym I'm looking for?
Fast,
fantastic. That's good. That means it's getting through. Anyone tell me what's the S stand for?
Face.
Face, yes. Probably dangerous to stand up and go, what does F stand for? Hope you get the right word back. Face, the A.
Arms,
the S.
Speech,
and T. Time. Exactly. So the FAST test. Every second counts when someone's having a stroke. Recognising the signs and calling 999 for an ambulance is crucial. The quicker a person arrives at a specialist stroke unit, the better their chances of making a positive recovery. To help more people recognise this, to recognise the signs and symptoms of stroke, the Stroke Association helped fund the development and spread awareness of the FAST test. So face, look at the person's face and ask them to smile. Has their face fallen on one side? Arms, ask the person to raise one or both of their arms and keep them there. Are they unable to raise one arm? Speech, ask the person to tell you their name or say hello. Is their speech slurred? And in the case that you see one or more of these symptoms, it's time to call 999. Learn it, share it with your friends and family, as it could help you to save a life. But those aren't the only signs of stroke, and they're the main signs. There's other ones to watch out for as well. Sudden weakness or numbness on one side, including legs, hands or feet. Difficulty finding words or speaking in clear sentences. Importantly for this conference, sudden blurred vision or loss of sight in one or both eyes might be one that's more obvious to you guys. Sudden memory loss or confusion, dizziness or sudden fall. A sudden or severe headache as well. If you spot any of these signs of stroke, don't wait, call 999 straight away. Ambulance paramedics are trained in stroke and will take you or the person who's having a stroke to the right hospital then. So there's a number of different risk factors, as I've mentioned, which can increase an individual's risk of stroke then. So it's quite a long list. Unfortunately, it does start with lifestyle, as with many different health conditions. Things such as smoking, drinking, lack of exercise, and a poor diet are high risk factors for stroke. Obviously, me being sat here, obviously in peak physical health, is probably the right person to tell you about that. But things such as smoking double someone's risk of stroke as well. Age. At least until the Stroke Association agrees with my request to fund a time machine, there's not much that we can do about that, unfortunately. But getting older increases your risk of stroke, as the arteries in your blood, or the arteries in your body carrying the blood, become less elastic as you get older as well. Family history. If other members of your family have experienced a stroke or high blood pressure, then this puts you at a higher risk as well. And knowing this enables you to take some of those measures to ensure that you're aware of your risk. Making sure you get your blood pressure taken, so high blood pressure also on the list, plays a part in half of all strokes and is the single biggest risk factor for stroke or controllable risk factor. It has no symptoms, so get your blood pressure checked regularly, and if you're diagnosed with high blood pressure, it's important to ensure you're checking, keeping on top and making sure that it's still able to control that condition as well. Ethnicity. Stroke happens more to people from African or Caribbean families, as well as people from South Asian countries such as India, and Pakistan and Bangladesh, as well as other risk factors for stroke being more common within those communities as well, such as diabetes and high blood pressure again. Atrial fibrillation, or AF, not a very well known condition within the public, but actually a very serious risk factor for stroke. Atrial fibrillation is a type of irregular heartbeat, and your risk of stroke can be up to 5 times higher as a result. Most people don't get any obvious symptoms, but sometimes you can feel a very fast heartbeat, what we call sometimes the AF flutter, can be a symptom of atrial fibrillation. And a GP is able to diagnose those and ensure put on appropriate medication then to control that as well. Diabetes and pre-diabetes can double your risk of stroke as well. But managing it correctly and making healthy lifestyle choices, such as losing weight, can help you reduce your risk. And likewise, high cholesterol as well can clog up and narrow the blood vessels, which can help to cause a clot within the artery as well. So high cholesterol doesn't have any symptoms, but it's a major risk factor for stroke, so it's important to get your cholesterol level checked. So the effects of stroke then, memory and thinking problems. So problems with memory and thinking are very common after a stroke. and most people will have some difficulties. Vision, I'll move on to that in a second. Communication as well. So one third of stroke survivors experience problems with communication, and this can be in either expressing information and speaking, but also in receiving and understanding information as well. Swallowing, around half of stroke survivors have problems with swallowing, and around 80% of stroke survivors have problems with their movement as well, so the vast majority. Incontinence, around half of stroke survivors experience incontinence, particularly in the earlier stages of their recovery as well, or the very early stages. And numbness, around half of stroke survivors have impaired sensation as well. These are sometimes things that can be quite obvious to see as well, but there's some of the hidden effects that stroke can have on people as well, particularly fatigue, so being very tired despite and regardless of somebody resting can again have that impact. Emotionalism, around one in five stroke survivors experience emotionalism after stroke, and around 50% of stroke survivors suffer depression in the first year following a stroke, and over half experience symptoms of anxiety at some point in the 10 years following a stroke. And of course, the one that people may be aware of from TV is the behaviour changes that people can experience after a stroke. Can be as simple as changing some habits, such as drinking tea rather than coffee, but actually it can have a big impact, and some people can become very irritable or say or do things without thinking. And obviously that can have a really big impact on family and carers in particular as well. But to move on then and to talk a bit about vision, around 60% of stroke survivors have problems with their vision after a stroke. This reduces to around 20% after 3 months. But if we think about those statistics that we saw at the start of this presentation, this means there's around 13,000 people in Wales who are going to be experiencing vision issues following a stroke. So a very high number of people as well. And as with many things around a stroke, exactly the symptoms that the person experiences depends on where that damage was done within the brain itself. And symptoms can vary significantly between individuals after their stroke as well. So problems that people may experience with their vision after stroke include central vision loss, so partial or complete loss of vision in one or both eyes, visual field loss. Most common is losing the right or left side of vision out of eye. No, I'm going to try and pronounce this, but you guys probably know the term better than I do, known as homonymous hemianopia. That's terrible. Homonymous hemianopia. The impact on somebody's visual field then. Nerve problems as well, so problems with the nerves controlling the movement in the eye. And that can include nystagmus as well, so a condition which I'm sure you guys are aware of can cause the eyes to move continually. And visual processing problems. So this isn't where the eyes have been directly impacted themselves, but the ability to receive the visual information that's being processed by the brain is impacted. So people may no longer be as familiar with objects or people, and may, despite the fact the eyes are working, may no longer be able to recognise certain objects, people, things that they're seeing then. A few other sight problems that people may experience then is hallucinations, particularly for those with visual field loss as well, can see things that aren't actually there in their blind area. And that can be one of the first ways in which people actually recognise themselves that they have visual field loss, that they're experiencing this issue, as well as when they begin to experience hallucinations. Weakened muscles in the face and eyelid can also mean difficulty in closing the eyelids fully, or difficulty in closing them when asleep. And this can cause dry eyes and irritation.
Okay, you've got a minute?
I've got a minute. I've got several slides. And light sensitivity as well. I don't know what time I started. I don't know. And light sensitivity as well. And obviously this then can have a big impact on somebody after a stroke as well. So having an impact on someone's ability to drive. After having a stroke, everyone is barred from driving, or a TIA, everyone is barred from driving for 1 month. Can cause people obviously to lose employment as well. And while there's fantastic aids and adaptations available to support people these days, for some jobs it's simply not going to be possible to make those adjustments. Risk of falls and people's care needs as well can be impacted. And this can have a big impact on people's requirement to have care, or on their families and friends who suddenly find themselves thrust into the role of carer, and a knock on people's confidence and well-being. as with many things with stroke, this can be made more complex by the fact there may be other symptoms, maybe other things such as movement issues, depression, balance, and all of this other stuff that's making it more complex. Just to flag a couple of the things that we do, we have stroke recovery services in the majority of Wales. I think it's only Newport where we have no service at present. And we offer peer support groups and clubs. You're getting closer, aren't you? We have a fantastic new service as well called My Stroke Guide, which is an online service that can help people find out more about stroke and find more tools and things to and information to help their recovery. Includes a really good section on vision as well. Anyone, any member of the public can use that as well. So by all means, check that out if you want any more information. We do other work, campaigning, cross-party group on stroke. We facilitate, that's meeting tomorrow. Lots of fundraising. We have a great event called the Santa Run coming up. I'm participating in that, so if you want to see a really unfit man in an unconvincing Santa suit, please come along to that. And our Know Your Blood Pressure event as well. So sorry for the rush at the end, but I wasn't paying attention to what time I started, so I was looking at the clock going, I don't know. If you want any more information, then by all means have a look at our website. Drop us an email, always happy to hear from you. Thank you once again for having me today, and I hope I haven't gone over too much.